State of Soul podcast. This is Joe.
This is Sean.
I think I was sounding like a goat. I was trying to sound like a ghost or something.
Whoa. Spelled ghost wrong.
Ghost.
The AI goofed. I said ghost, not goat. Yeah.
I'm sorry, listener, if I'm not sounding my usual annoying self. We just got through crazy October and my voice is shot. Packed tours. Now, when we have really large tours. Now, I do have a background in as a trained singer. Do you know this, Sean? I have a background as a trained singer.
Yeah.
I used to have to sing opera and shit in college. So I know how ways of protecting my voice and projecting, but we've been doing so many giant tours that require projecting. On top of that, it was raining on last night's tour, and rain with the cars on the rain just I have to go even amplifies. Louder.
Yeah, it amplifies.
I have to fight that white noise.
Yeah. It's interesting because tours get louder in the rain and they get brighter on very cloudy nights.
Huh.
If we have a low cloud ceiling, just all the light pollution in the city illuminates the ground more. I find so. The tour is not as dark, not as spooky.
It's spookiest on Sunday nights, I found. Yeah, because the city's in hangover mode.
Right.
And so everything's a lot of places are closed. They're picking up all the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, the alleys are really dark.
Yeah. Yeah. So good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, what a busy time we've had.
Wow, this is the busiest we've ever had. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
And yeah, we're still on the tail end of that, the denouement.
Yeah. Quite a bit. Like we got quite a few bookings several days all through.
This weekend was still November and we still got bookings for this weekend, this coming weekend in November. It's usually around December things start dropping off a bit.
Yeah. I still have several cemetery tours that are booked. We're getting booking. We have several bookings now for 2024. One came in today.
Yeah. We're getting lots of bookings for next year already.
For spring 2024. So if you're planning to come to Korea soon or next year, whenever.
Oh my God. At this rate, you better start booking now.
ZenKimchi.com
or DarkSideOfSoul.com.
If you want it. Well, if you specifically want to do the Dark Side tour, of course.
Yeah. It's better to book direct. Remember that.
Yes. Every time. Yeah, absolutely. We had someone send us a message asking us that. He sent a message through Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Asking if we were the same tour as this other OTA. The travel agency. Selling. I'm like, yeah, we're the same tour.
Yeah.
Please book direct.
So, well, and he said,
say that, but yeah.
Well, he asked, he said specifically, are you the same? Because I want to book directly through you. So he's a good tourist. He knows, he knows that booking direct gives money directly to the guide. And more money to the guide.
And on top of that, you're more likely to get other benefits if you book directly than you can't do on OTAs. Like you get additions like the comic books or coupon codes. Things like that.
Right. Yep.
And what's funny is like, even when you use a coupon code, we still make more money than if you book through Viator or get your guide or stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I think I've mentioned before, use TripAdvisor and that kind of stuff, like a search engine.
Right.
And then see if the tour you want to do then has its own website. And if you can book directly.
Yep.
So best way to do it.
All right. Now that we've lectured you enough,
let's desecrate
some graves.
Let's break some dead places. Yeah. Desecrated graves. Yeah. This is an interesting topic. And one that I've, you know, long been pretty interested in.
Yeah.
And I think now the second season of the Walk Among the Graves tour that I lead is half done for this season. Only do it every spring, every autumn. Mm-hmm. And well, this is the first autumn that we've been running it, doing well. I thought we've done a couple of episodes about like grave matters. We did the video episode, Sean Diggs Grave. Well, but Grave Matters was the old one that we did burial traditions and stuff. And then the video one was Sean Diggs Graves.
Right, we saw a desecrated grave or an abandoned grave. We saw
abandoned ones, several. Yeah. Right. So, and then with doing the tour now, I thought, gosh, it was time for another grave type of episode. And I thought of desecrated graves because this is something that does happen. There's evidence of it. There's evidence of it on the slight evidence of it on the tour, mm-hmm. whatnot. And I'll bring up some historic examples of this and whatnot, and I'll ask a question at the end, give some examples, and I'm very interested in what people think. Are the examples that I'll give at the end truly desecration, or are they something else? So while desecrating graves, you know, actively, purposely destroying a grave would seem odd, like it wouldn't be done very much anymore.
Yeah.
It does happen, and sometimes desecration it is true that sometimes what could seem like desecration is simply just erosion, wear and tear of the grave and whatnot, especially Korean mounds, grave mounds and whatnot, but purposeful destruction, ill intent and whatnot towards graves does occur. And so look at a few of these examples. So first of all, traditionally in Korean ghost lore, there is taboo against desecrating a grave because it was believed that purposely desecrating a grave, and also if you desecrated the body in the grave, you could give rise to a type of ghost that's called manggui. And these were said to be the ghosts of angered spirits that haunt cemeteries. So they've had their graves desecrated in some way, and so it gives rise to these ghosts that haunt cemeteries. So there was there is folk,
don't wake dad, you know,
don't wake daddy. so there is folklore precedent for the idea of not doing it, so just out of respect anyway. But people did believe in it in the past that you could actually create ghosts by doing it. So a few of my observations there, and I've mentioned this before, that there are lots of graves around where I live. Actually, there's graves everywhere. And driving along the highway, if you just peek off of the road a little bit, chances are you'll see a grave somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there are huge cemeteries all around where I live. And generally, this area is north of Seoul. So say like Eunpyeonggu, which is the northern border of Seoul. I live north of there, way far north of there. That whole area is just full of graves and old cemeteries because the dead couldn't be buried in the city during the Joseon Dynasty. So they were buried outside. So there are graves everywhere. And there is one family grave site. It's near my house. There are five tombs in one plot, in that one plot, and it's just off of the highway, right next to a bunch of restaurants. And Joe, we were there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When we went for lunch near my place. And we went to the family plot.
Yeah.
So there are five graves, but there's only, well, there are two tombstones. And the larger one near the bottom has dozens of pockmarks in it. Do you remember that? I showed it to you.
Yeah, yeah, all the pockmarks in it.
Yeah, they're very random. So it doesn't look like erosion in any way. It's far, like, they're not just on the edges where erosion would occur. They're rounded, and big chunks taken out of the tombstone. So as we observed on that day when it was, when I showed it to you, it looks like a pickaxe or something.
Yeah.
Was taken to it, or a tool, a chisel, hammer and chisel. No. They are rounded, and what, it wouldn't be bullets because it's not that old, where it would have been like the Korean War or something like that. And they're like, yeah, who would, I mean, like, I don't know. Some of them may shoot up, try to shoot up a gravestone, but the interesting thing, though, is that there's no real damage to the graves themselves. They're all, the mounds are quite in good shape. But so it's definitely not bullet holes. Well, they may be confused as bullet holes. And it's definitely not erosion. It's cleaned every year. Every year during Chuseok and Seolal, traditionally when graves are cleaned, the graves are cared, the mounds are cared for, but the tombstone is there, and it's what I'm certain is it's been desecrated. Someone actively went there and destroyed it in some regard. Very, very surprising. Oh. Very surprising, strange thing to see. So that's an easy example that I can show people if they come out my way. And the thing too about tombstones is that they're expensive whenever they're beaten up or destroyed, or even just, I don't know, they tip over because they're old or something. They're really pricey to fix. So one that gets desecrated probably has to stay in place for a while until the family has money to replace it. So yeah, simple examples. And we'll probably put with this episode, maybe we post photos and stuff. We'll put a photo of that tombstone so it can be seen. Now, there's an example on the tour, on the Walk Among the Graves tour, of an old Buddhist grave site. And it was a centerpiece of the tour. It was covered in Buddhist motifs. Had a very regular, normal-looking tombstone, but very big, very, very large, indicating that the family had money. There was a second stone on the site with a big Zen circle, like a Buddhist Zen circle. They had the posts, the Mangjusok. These are the posts, usually two of them put at the front of a grave site, indicating that a grave is in that area, so it can be recognized from a distance. It's in a beautiful middle point of the slope up on the cemetery hill. And it was a key point. It was a highlight of the tour. And on the very first tour this year, the Walk Among the Graves tour, we walked up over the hill and then got to the top where that grave is, and it was completely destroyed. It was gone.
My goodness.
Absolutely gone. It was completely dismantled. The mound was gone, flattened, completely gone. All the stone motifs were ripped up and thrown to the side. And the mound was flattened and was removed. At the time, I wasn't necessarily sure if the body was removed. It is possible that it isn't desecration, but it's possible that it's grave relocation. I'll get into this in a second, but when I first found it in that state, and it's still in the state now, except all the stone motifs have since been removed in the last couple of weeks. They've been taken down. The site itself, either something happened to the mound and the mound kind of collapsed, but that's the least likely scenario. It could be that there was some desecration to the site, and then they decided that the person needed to be moved, put elsewhere, because it was desecrated. That is a possibility. Why it would have been desecrated, I have no idea. There could be several reasons for it. We'd never know until It's either found out, discovered, or reported in some way. But the other possibility that it is a simple grave relocation. And this is done when descendants of the dead need to ensure good fortune, because the idea of the dead, especially the part that remains in the ground, which is called the pek in Korean, the body spirit, the pek, when that provides fortune, it really dictates the fortunes of a family. If the pek is unhappy, then the area no longer has any value, so the body has to be removed. And but what was really strange is that if that occurred, why were all the stone motifs simply tossed to the side? It didn't make any sense. It was a very, very strange discovery. I am now mostly leaning towards the body has been removed, but I'm still not entirely sure why. Either the site was desecrated in some regard, and they felt that it was better to just move the body. Like I said, this was a very large tomb, so the family has money. So finding a new plot, or just dismantling the grave and cremating the remains, is not a financial burden for them. Or it comes down to the folk belief that just the energy of the site has been used up. So unsure if it's desecration, but desecration may have been involved in that. And now that's turned into a different story on the tour. That's turned into a story of desecration.
And talk
about the desecration of graves and things like that. And I had to very suddenly switch to something different on the very first tour. Cause when he made the crest up over the hill, and I was there just a week before, it was there, the grave was there. In less than a week, it was gone. So that's an example of possible desecration, but not exactly sure. Now, there are a lot of high profile examples, especially in history. And there's a very interesting example of grave desecration that dates as far back as the early 12th century. The story of it dates back to the early 12th century. So this story starts with the death of a general named Yun Gwan. Now, he was really important because he really helped to expand the northern borders of the Korean peninsula for Korea. And when he died in the year 1111, he was buried on a very beautiful, auspicious hill in Paju, not far where I live.
Yeah.
Not far from where I live. And but it just so happened that his grave got lost over time. This is something else that happens. It's not necessarily desecration. It's just that graves do just get lost. And we do see examples of this on the tour, where graves get overgrown, where they would normally be cleaned up and weeds cut back and whatnot a couple times a year. Sometimes the descendants just also pass away. And this normally would have been the case in the past. There are no more descendants, and so graves get forgotten about. So Yun Gwan's tomb just got forgotten about. Then in the year 1662, quite a far in the future of the after Yun Gwan, there was a minister named Shim Ji Won who died. Then he ended up being buried on the same hill.
Uh-oh.
But then the Yun family, Yun Gwan's descendants, rediscovered his tomb in the mid-1700s. And it turned out that his tomb, which was there first, was just a few meters away from Shim's tomb, the minister that was buried in 1662. So this caused a massive grave dispute. It became a huge clan dispute. It was known as the Yun Shim clan grave dispute. And they started feuding, fighting, desecrating each other's tombs because they were burying their dead along the hillside. In 1764, King Yeongjo got involved. He had a hearing. He presided over this hearing anyway. He was there. So he got involved to try to get these two clans to stop fighting, stop desecrating each other's tombs, and stop fighting with each other. But it was no good. They just wouldn't agree to it. And the fighting and the desecration continued. Apparently, the patriarchs, the oldest men in the family at the time, they were ordered by young Joe to be flogged and exiled. And one of the elder Yun men died as a result of this. So this feud continued for centuries, this ongoing hatred between the Yun and the Shim clan. It was so serious at various points that Yun and Shim members of each clan could not marry each other.
Oh, man.
They were forbidden to marry people from the other clan. Now, there could be examples of rebels and whatnot, like they didn't listen, but there were people, elders in the Yun and the Shim clan, who each said to their families, you cannot marry anyone from the opposing clan. This feud continued and wasn't resolved until the year 2008. So from at least 1662, or the mid 1700s is ideally when it started, the mid 1700s to 2008, these two clans feuded over a grave site, and they were actively not only desecrating each other's tombs, but actively harming each other. So a massive feud that the government had to get involved with. Very, very interesting. And there were more details to it. There's quite a bit more. If anyone wants to look into the Yun Shim, S-H-I-M, the Yun Shim clan, clan grave dispute. So if you want to look into more, you can definitely find it. Now going ahead, it's a couple of years before that centuries long dispute was settled, in the year 2005. So at a temple, again, this is in Paju, at Boguangsa. And Boguangsa is a beautiful temple site. Now, again, not very far from where I live. This temple had nearby, there's a graveyard called the Yunha Myoji, the Yunha Cemetery. And they erected graves and epitaphs for prisoners who were convicted of communism. They actively went to jail, to prison, because they were thought to be communists. They were convicted. But the temple viewed them as reunification fighters, people who fought for the reunification of the Korean Peninsula. However, the Patriotic Youth Association, which is a very conservative, very, very right-wing group, they argued for the removal of the graves. They made formal demands to Paju City Hall. They went to the Yunha Cemetery, destroyed the graves, and once they were all smashed up, the tombstones are all smashed and tossed and littered across the grounds, they spray painted all the stones. And on one of the memorials, they spray painted, these are the tombs of traitors. So it goes to show how there's a lot of political reasoning or push behind different examples of tomb desecration in Korea. And that was just 2005. So not all that long ago. And in the end, the memorials were removed. The temple got rid of them. The graves, I think, are still there, but the tombs are simplified. The tombstones are simplified, and the memorials themselves have been taken down. So, yeah. And that's another place you can visit if you want to go visit there.
Be careful, man. Someone will get you for desecrating a grave. You know, you would be caught up in that feud.
Desecrating, yeah. So, another example. Go ahead, another few years. 2012. This is something, Joe, do you know about the cemetery for North Korean and Chinese soldiers?
No.
In Paju?
No.
Yeah, so again, Paju just happens that all these examples, because I guess I live here and I've explored so many of the tombs and cemeteries in this area that I know about. These are the ones that I especially know about. So in Paju, there is a cemetery for North Korean and Chinese soldiers who died in the South during the Korean War. So their bodies were discovered, and so many of them were discovered that they needed to be put somewhere. And then finally in 1996, the government established this cemetery. So all the dead buried in the cemetery, which is public, you can go visit it. Everyone buried there is a North Korean or Chinese soldier who died in the South during the war. So, and it also includes spies from North Korea. So who were killed in the South or captured in the South, and then they died here, ended up dying in prison or whatever. And after they died, they had to bury them somewhere. So they buried them in the cemetery. So an example of the North Korean spies who are there is Unit 124.
We're gonna talk about that one day.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are this is the unit of North Korean spies who tried to kill Park Chung-hee in 1968, the president. They almost made it to the Blue House. They were very, very close. I think we should. Maybe that's something we should do soon. That's a good episode, a good issue that deserves an episode. So now the cemetery is generally ignored. Not a lot of people like to go there. They generally think it's weird. They think you, just by visiting it, they think you might be sympathizing with the North. And apparently it used to be monitored. The government would monitor people who went to the cemetery to see if they could find any sympathizers with the North. So, and Chinese diplomats visiting South Korea have visited the cemetery to pay respects to the Chinese soldiers. That's pretty interesting. There's no way to stop them from doing that, but probably annoys the Korean government quite a bit, and any Korean who hears the news. And apparently some desecration has occurred at this cemetery. People go and they kick over the tombstones because not a lot of the soldiers are named. They don't know who they are. The graves often just say like a communist or soldier, spy. They don't, if they don't know the names, they just say who, what type of person they were. Mm-hmm. So some desecration apparently has happened. I've heard about this. Like I said, tombstones being kicked over and whatnot. There were plans to renovate it, to kind of update it, clean it up a little bit, because it's fallen into disarray. Like there's a lot of, it's rough looking. Because it's mostly ignored, but people were so against the money being spent on cleaning it up that the plans were dropped in 2012. So it's just there. Some things that did happen though, many Chinese soldiers have been repatriated. They used to be repatriated through the North, but since they were repatriated, I think it was during Park Geun-hye's presidency, repatriated directly to China. Interestingly, the North has always refused repatriation of the soldiers because they say they died in Korea. And the North says this is where we are in the South, they say that is ours. Mm, right.
Makes sense. Okay. I see the logic.
It's political again. So they're like, oh no, repatriate them. They're like, what are you talking about? some need to reap. They died where in our country. So no, they're already
over soon.
Yeah. So they're like, they're already home. That's their view. So they refuse repatriation, which is pretty interesting. And so it's just pretty much left there to rot now. Hmm. And it's a variant. If there's anybody who is interested in cemetery tourism, join the Walk Among the Graves tour, first of all. But if you do really want to go try to see this place, it's remote. It's way up in the north of Padua. It is possible to get there. It's not easy to get there. But if you are interested, get in touch with us. And maybe I can arrange a private tour. It's not really a good place to have a regular tour just because it's just too remote. If anyone's interested in maybe doing a tour there, get in touch. We might be able to arrange something. Another example, more modern, this year, 2023, Lee Jae-myung. Oh, my favorite politician, Lee Jae-myung, who
this is something you did, right, Sean?
No. Lee Jae-myung, who is the opposition leader, and if anyone, we talked about him before, he was the guy who, when he was the governor of Gyeonggi-do, he mm-hmm. was forcing non-Koreans to take COVID tests.
Just because they're non-Koreans.
Yeah. Just because they're non-Korean. Yeah. Not a popular guy among the expat community.
Yeah.
He's had kind of a rough go of it. He's not a super popular politician. He lost the presidential election, the most recent one, by a very slim margin because both candidates were no good. So neither one of them were popular. But
it's like the upcoming U.S. election next year.
had quite and recently he went on a hunger strike and things like he's been investigated for scandals and all types of stuff. So just not having a good run of it in the last, say, 2 years, especially. And so his parents are buried in Bonghwa-gun, which is in Gyeongsangbuk-do, North Gyeongsang province. Earlier this year, four people, led predominantly by two elderly men, dug up the grounds around Yi's parents' graves, and they buried six stones in the site around their graves, desecrated the graves.
Mm.
It turned out, though, that the eldest man, I guess kind of the ringleader of the whole thing, was or is a jiguan, which is a geomancer. He's an expert in pungsu jiri, the Korean version of feng shui, or geomancy, as we'd say in English. And the stones that they buried were inscribed with different characters designed for bringing good fortune. So they were actually supporters of Lee Jae-myung. And they felt that his fortunes were connected to the peck, the bodies, the remains of his parents, but somehow it was all used up in some way. It just wasn't working for him. And so they went there and performed these light rituals of some sort to try to bring good fortune back to Lee Jae-myung so he'd have better prospects with his political career. They wanted to help. Now, that's a pretty kind of a rough way to do it, because of course they did it in secret. They didn't get permission to do it. He called them practitioners of black magic. Bit ridiculous. Ooh. Yeah, a bit silly nonsense. Because that has such negative connotations. Understandably, he was upset, of course. Understandably upset. But that was a modern, just this year, example of grave desecration that wasn't meant to be grave desecration. That was done, grave desecration done with good intentions. Very, very interesting. And when that happened, I remember, and of course, they didn't know it was announced that it had happened, but they didn't know who did it or for what reason. Mm-hmm. And all I could see were photos of the graves and things like that. Very interesting. And it just goes to show that these types of ideas still exist in for a lot of people, a lot of these folk beliefs. And calling it black magic is in bad taste. Understandably upset, but calling it black magic is just in bad taste. Because these types of ideas are conducted by politicians all across Korea. Everyone who served as president, almost, if not everyone, then a lot of people who served as president in Korea did something like this. Not desecrating someone's grave. That was a step too far, of course, but just the general concept of performing rites and rituals for good fortune. You can find examples of it going way back through so many of the people who served as president in Korea.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that was big news. And didn't seem to work, though, I guess, unfortunately, because, like I said, because E then went to, he was being investigated, went on a hunger strike and whatnot. I haven't seen much news about him recently.
Passed by. I was driving some guests and going by the Socho area. Where the all the lawyers are, and there's big giant like banners and stuff and flowers supporting him on the side of the road near one of the courts.
I just don't understand. So strange. I don't understand such. I don't know. It's like, it's just, and it's a different topic, but it's just so weird to have this weird love and admiration for a politician.
I think it's just rooting for the team.
It's definitely, absolutely, it's being partisan. It's partisanship. So another example of desecration, this one is a little bit different because it didn't happen in Korea, but Koreans carried out the desecration. This happened in Vietnam in 1968. During the Vietnam War. And this was during one of Korea's darker times, darker modern events, I guess we could say. This is the Hamai massacre in Vietnam. Korea, the Blue Dragon Marines were actively involved in the massacre of a village, the Hamai village. This also kind of deserves its own episode at some point, but just basically Korean soldiers murdered 135 villagers and then completely razed the village, burnt it down, and then they left. The survivors, of course, had to collect their dead. They had to collect 135 people, men, women, and children, and a lot of them women, and a lot of them children, had to collect them, and they buried them in shallow graves. It was all they could do initially anyway, was to bury them in shallow graves marked with stones. The next day, the Blue Dragons, the Korean Marines, returned with bulldozers. They dug up the graves, crushed the bodies with the bulldozer, God, and then crushed the unburied dead.
Oh.
And this caused such heartache for the villagers that there was a saying that the people in Hamai were killed twice. So, yeah, like I said, so the massacre itself happened on February 25th, 1968. So, again, I think that's something we can look at a little bit in the future in another episode as well. But if anyone wants to look into it, it's the Hamai massacre in Korea's very tragic involvement in a massacre of innocents during the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Well, there's one historical example of attempted grave desecration that we haven't talked about. That was 1866. Ernst Opert was he was a German who was had business dealings in Hong Kong and such, but was kind of failing in business, and he was trying to, as a last ditch effort, was trying to open up Korea to trade. Now this is 1866, and this is when the Daewon-gun was in power. So he wasn't up for that. And he was trying everything he could. He was sweet talking and everything, trying to get him to do it. And then when that wasn't working, he went and tried to steal the Daewon-gun's father's bones.
Oh, interesting.
And they were able to dig it up to the main stone, the big stone, but they couldn't get past the stone. And they were caught. And Daewon-gun, oh yeah, he posed as a British soldier too when he was doing this, like the British. And pretty much said, like, if he's ever back, or basically any foreigner that comes back, just kill them on sight. Just don't want foreigners here.
Right. He didn't help the cause by doing that. Yeah, he didn't help his own cause by doing that. Yeah. And that was right around, also, of course, yeah, the Daewon-gun was in power, but this is when Japan, the Meiji Restoration was going on, so he was in the wrong country.
He spoke Chinese and some Japanese, but yeah, he was and supposedly he was good friends with locals, other Koreans. Maybe they liked him going after the Daewon-gun's father's tomb, but
that's they didn't care. So and just to finish up, so there's a question. So is it desecration? A couple examples. A very basic one: abandonment of graves is becoming more and more common, as far as I can observe. And we've discussed this in the previously mentioned episodes. And this can be seen a lot on the tour as well. And this can be done for a few reasons. This can happen because of a few reasons. It could be that families just become uninterested in maintaining graves or upkeeping graves, or they're unable to. It can be expensive, or they're physically unable to. They're growing old, and to do things like the sungmyo, the visiting of graves and things like that, just becomes something that's not physically possible anymore. Like my father-in-law can't visit graves, just not physically able to do it. There are no more descendants. The family line has stopped. So there's just no one who does it. A big thing that's happening is that no one cares about these traditions anymore of upkeeping graves. That's the biggest thing that's happening with the abandonment of graves. And it's something that not a lot of people just don't like to talk about, but I have recorded a lot of people just don't like the dead. They bury someone and they're like, I hated my father.
Oh, I mean, like, okay. They didn't like Jerry Garcia?
Yeah. they
just like the dead, man.
Yeah, like the dead.
I'm a dead. No.
They wouldn't let me follow them around.
No, I prefer falling fish, around the dead, man.
Yeah. So they don't like
panic.
They just don't like them. So like, yeah, they didn't like their father. They're like, he was a piece of shit. Didn't like him when he was alive. Not interested in giving him any kind of respect when he's dead. There are examples of this.
We're seeing this now. I mean, come on, man. People, you reap what you sow, man.
Pretty much. So that's great. So is that abandonment? Is abandonment, that is abandonment, all those examples, but is abandonment desecration of a tomb? Indirect desecration, especially if you purposely choose not to keep it up, you purposely allow it to fall into disarray, into disuse, and become ramshackle and just into to collapse on itself. It makes me think of Batman Begins when he says, I don't have to, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't have to save you. I was like, oh, it's still, I mean, you don't let him die though. So yeah, I always thought that was a weird ending to that film. And to me, letting a grave, purposely letting it dilapidate, is kind of a indirect desecration of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm curious what listeners think as well. And then just one more, and I'm very, very curious about this as well. Exhuming graves is becoming also a little bit more common, like the movement of like moving people out of graves. Like I talked about the example with the Buddhist grave, but there is the mass exhuming of graves as well. So for example, when my wife's grandfather died, I think those are in 2006, 2006, 2007, mm-hmm. when he died, he had his plot next to his wife, who died about a decade before. And after he died, they were told that they couldn't bury him there. This was in Jeonju. And the cemetery said, you can't bury him there. You're going to have to cremate him. And you're going to have to exhume his wife and cremate her as well. So this caused some issues within the family. There was nothing they could do. They had to be, both were cremated. They're now in a columbarium together. But then that entire public cemetery was exhumed. Every single person buried in that hillside cemetery in Jeonju was exhumed. Hmm. And what's on it now? Skyscrapers, tall apartments, not skyscrapers, but apartments, tall apartments, probably owned by Samsung or something like that. Yeah. So is that desecration? Is the forced exhuming of the dead for the purposes of lining the pockets of corporations because of real estate or whatever reason, is that desecration? So that's the question.
There's a story there, Sean. Write a comic book about it.
Yeah. <That's- laughs> So I'll leave it there then. I'll leave it with that question. And I'm curious what people think. So send us your answers if you wish.
Right. Well, we're just going to wrap it up here. We had, trying to remember what did I say? Dark Side of the Podcast. Oh yeah, we had the comics. Get over at Dyson Comics Cafe in Junghampyeon Station and get on our tours, and you get online. Also, our hats you can get on the tours. So Dark Side Soul Podcast is produced by Joe McPherson and Sean Morrissey. Our opening and closing music is by Sodexan, which you find on Bandcamp under Digital. Say that five times fast. All right. We'd like to thank our top tier patrons: Angel Earl, Joel Bonamini, Sharon Cullen, Devin Hifner, Minsuk Lee, Gabby Palomino, Steve Marsh, Mitchie Brewer, Ron Chang, Mackenzie Moore, Hunter Winter, Cecilia Louvgren-Dumas, Emily Umbau, Josephine Riedberg, David Weatherly, and Janice Song. Thank you for supporting us. You too can join at Dark Side of Soul. No, you can join at patreon.com/darksideofsoul. We also have all of our, we have social media, Facebook, Instagram, look for Dark Side of Soul. And of course, all the stuff is centralized at darksideofsoul.com. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Try not to get your father's bones stolen. Until next time, stay spooky.
Good night.